Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? Glad you're here today. Hope everybody had a good week. Man, the weather's been great, so let's just enjoy it while we can, okay? There's just a couple of things I wanted to bring up, and it's in your bulletin, but today was the first day for our college and career ministry. And let's give them a round of applause. Carla's doing that, so we thank her for doing that. And then I guess something's happening today with something about graduates or something. I don't know. But anyway, that's coming up later on, but congratulations, guys. That's great. And the only other thing I'd like to add is Bible school's coming up in July. If you haven't signed up, please sign up. We need all the help we can get, and you'll get a blessing out of it, trust me. So, with that being said, let's prepare our hearts for worship. If you'll repeat with me. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalms 150. Let's bow for a moment, please. Father, we thank You once again for the opportunity to have to come to Your house. Lord, and we just thank You for letting us wake up this morning. It truly is a blessing. And Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for what it's going to mean to these students who are graduating. Please guide them and direct them and keep them in Your hands and keep them safe. And just guide us and direct us today. We ask Your Holy Spirit to be in here today in the sermon. Be with Dennis. Not his words, but Yours, Father. We just thank You so much for all You do for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Stand as we sing of the unshakable truth that our strength, our hope, and our purpose are found in the Lord. To celebrate some birthdays, a couple that happened a couple of weeks ago and some that are happening this coming week. So we had Miss Cindy Kemp, Miss Gwen Harrelson, Miss Nancy Faircloth, and Miss Beth Eiler in the back. Let's sing.
Buongiorno. Buenos dias. Hi, y'all. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's, praise the Lord. It's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. This is great. We are so excited that you're here today. Such a special time of the year. We have graduation time. I just want to say to the parents, to the friends, and people who are praying for the graduates, thank you so much. Thank you so much. When they graduate, you know, we graduate too. So it's such a special time. But before they come, I have a presentation. I'm going to ask Brother Ray, and you may sit down, Brother Ray, and also Alan. If you would both come, please. And I don't know if you know that, you know, Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's what Jesus said. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're here to do. And so for the last probably maybe 8-9 weeks, Brother Ray, on Wednesday night, he has been discipling Alan. And so today we're going to recognize, and we have a certificate. It is called My New Identity in Christ. And this certificate is presented to Alan Mancio for completing My New Identity in Christ. And, of course, this is signed by my hermano Ray. My brother, thank you so much. It's got my signature. It's also the name of our church, First Baptist Church, Fort Valley. So I'm going to ask Brother Ray if you would just give this to my hermano Alan. And if you wouldn't mind saying just a few words about Brother Alan. Thank you, hermano. And about your experience.
All the time. All the time being serving here, the Lord, you're called on to do some things that you were a little hesitant to do to start with. But God has asked me to step forward and disciple a marvelous young fella who has become a brother in Christ with me from this teaching of his understanding of the Bible and discipleship and all. I hadn't met a nicer guy that the Lord is working on, and I want him to continue to lift him up and use him and praise him in all he does. And he loves the Lord, and he wants to be a part of our family here. This certificate is, presented to Alan Mendoza.
Mendoza. Okay.
Oh, I kept calling him Alan all the time. I said, well, tell me your last name. So Alan Mendoza, a fine young gentleman. Yeah. And I've had the privilege of working with him, and it was a blessing to me. This certificate is presented to Ellen Mendoza for completing my new identity in Christ. Presented by myself, Ray Anthorn, 517-26, signed by the preacher, in name of the church, First Baptist Church, Fort Valley, Georgia. And I want to welcome him as a brother in Christ to me and a brother in Christ to all of y'all. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Thank you. There we go. Somebody said. Thank you. All right. So we are so excited. We have, last week, we dedicated 2 babies. And today we have 2 graduations. Amen? You don't sound too excited. Let's do it again. 2 graduations. There we go. Good day. It's such a special time of the year. Just think about it. Pre-K all the way to graduation from high school. That's 13 years, if you don't include weekday program. But it's such a special time for the family. And I just want to ask both families of Emerita and Madison to please stand, please. The families, please. Hermana Emma. Póngase de pie, hermana Emma. Hermana Emma, póngase de pie, la familia. There we go. We thank you very much. Thank you all. Thank you so much, and thank you. It's worth it. It's worth it. And thank you for your prayers for them. We are excited. We want to lift them up in prayer right now. And we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Amen? And so we have a little gift here on behalf of the church for both of you. This is for you, Emerita. Okay. And this is for you, Madison. Thank you so much. May I ask you to stand and kind of raise your hand towards them so we can pray for them? Father, we thank you so much for a life we live. For them, Father, not throwing in the towel, and for finishing this race. We know a new chapter begins. And we pray, Lord, that you guide them, that you show them, Father, what they need to do and what and how they can honor you, Father, as they move forward. Father, whatever it's in store for them, we pray that you who are the way, the truth, and the life will guide them. Father, we pray a special blessing for their family, for mom, dad, and family, supported family and friends who have been praying for them and lifting them up to you. Father, we thank you for their lives. Bless Emerita. And bless Madison in a special way. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, y'all can walk back. No. Adios.
So as these graduates step into this new season and new opportunities, we pray that they will continue to seek the Lord's direction.
Amen.
And walk faithfully with him each day. Come sing with us on these next couple of songs. None of us knows every step ahead, but we serve a God who faithfully leads his children one step at a time. And the greatest guidance we can ever receive is found in keeping our eyes on Jesus. Stand and sing, Turn Your Eyes.
Look for in his
You may be seated. Let us all be reminded that God's promises remain true, and those that build their lives on Christ stand secure. This is something we pray for all of the graduates.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now?
He won't.
I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now?
He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation.
Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. God is good. We give God the glory. Such a special time, and we give all glory to the Lord. I don't know what you're going through right now, but if he didn't fail you then, he won't fail you now. He's waiting for us ahead. Maybe we need to increase our faith. Maybe he's bringing us from kindergarten to first grade in our spiritual walk. He's always at work. He's always working in our lives, and for sure he's working today. We never stop growing in Christ, never. From the moment we gave our life to Christ, he's always working in our lives, always. And sometimes what it seems a lot of problems is just the Lord putting you to second grade. You know, and so forth, and one day when we get to heaven, we'll graduate. How about that? So, but meanwhile, he's always working in our lives. So, but never, 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 never think that he leaves you. Never think that he has forsaken you. For his word is truth, and he's what he promised, he will do, and he promised to be with us till the end of time. And so the Lord is with us. And so we give God the glory. And today we're going to be talking about bringing the word. Bringing the word. I'm going to ask you to look for 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to read. We're going to read all the way through verse 7. And so once you find it, I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's word. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 7. And the word of God says, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there should not be dew nor rain these years except by my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I will command the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. That's a good diet. You drink water, you eat bread, and you get some meat. Only two meals a day. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Let me just go ahead and read 8. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. Father, we ask that you speak to us, that you minister to us. We thank you for your promise. Thank you for your faithfulness to our lives. And thank you, Father, for seeing our graduates, our young people finishing their 12th grade. And Father, we thank you for their parents. We thank you for their lives. We ask that you guide them. And Father, thank you, Father, for their example and their model for those who are coming behind them as well. Say, Lord, thank you, and we ask now that you speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Just a little background information here. If you ever have not read the Bible or you do not know a lot about how the Bible is organized, when you start in the Old Testament from the book of Genesis, you're actually descending. And so, approximately in 970 BC, Solomon became king. Of course, Solomon was the son of David. And then in 930 BC, Jeroboam became king of Israel. Right after Solomon, there was a split in kingdom. That's why sometimes when you read the Bible and you're reading about Judah on one side, and then you read about Israel on the other side. And so there was a split. So Jeroboam became the king of Israel, and Rehoboam reigned in Judah. At the same time, in 874, Ahab became king of Israel. In that particular time, Elijah comes into the picture. And in 872, it was Elijah who brought the word of God to Ahab. And that brings us to the text that we just read in 1 Kings 17. It said that Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab. So here is a prophet, by word, a prophet. By definition, a prophet in Scripture is someone who repeated what God said. Sometimes they didn't understand the message. They just repeated what God said. If God said, you know, go, they will say go. Literally, in the Hebrew, the word prophet means mouthpiece. Imagine that. A mouthpiece. In other words, it repeats what God is saying. They were not people who were foretelling and telling the future of people, not at all. But it was sometimes, obviously, it will apply to the future or it will apply to the current situation. So here is Elijah, and he's going before a king. Can you imagine this? And listen, he went over there, and he told them what God said. You know, when we are thinking about today, is really what we're doing. We're proclaiming the word of God. We're telling people what God said. It's not what's in the future. We're just repeating what God said. It is the word of God that transcends culture, transcends generations. It is the same word of God. And so, when he presented the word of God, he recognized the power. He recognized the power of God. And it's the power is in the word of God. It's not in me. It wasn't in Elijah the power. It's the power is in the word of God. This is where the power is. It's right here. Listen, if there's one thing the devil doesn't want you to do, is get in the word of God. You know why? Because the word of God is powerful. The word of God will change you, will transform you. And if you are a wife, you need to pray for your husband that he gets on the word of God. And if you are a husband that has a wife struggling, you need to pray for her to get in the word of God. If you have a son that's struggling, you got to get them to get to the word of God, because the power is in the word of God. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. It's in the word of God. Now just examine yourself. Every time you try to do anything spiritual, the devil will work so that you won't do it. Anytime you said, tomorrow I am going to pray, get up early and pray, the alarm won't go off that morning. Oh, I'm going to, this year, listen, every year it happens. Believers, New Year's resolution, I'm going to read the whole counsel of God next year. They start in Genesis 1, and they won't see the Bible again until next year. Guess why? Because the devil knows if he can keep you from praying, which is the most powerful tool God has given us. And the Word of God, He's got you. But you got to overcome. You got to get back to the Word. The power is in the Word. The power is in the Word. God's Word is powerful. God's Word is powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It'll penetrate even to dividing the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It digs deep. The Word of God digs deep. And the Word of God is so powerful that I am preaching to you right now. And God is saying one thing to somebody, and the Word of God is saying something to somebody else, and we're in the same room. That's how powerful it is. He's speaking to you, and He works in ways, in personal ways. Sometimes, you know, we hear the Word, and we look at the servant, and we blame the servant. Why is he talking to me? I'm not talking to you. I prepare myself. And I come to preach the Word of God, and listen, the Word of God and the Spirit of God begins to work in our hearts. That's what it does. But it's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. There is Elijah, and he comes to a king, and he tells him, this is what God said. This is what God said. And he said, as the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain this year except by my word. It's the power, it's not, it wasn't in Elijah, it was, he was heralding the word of God to the king. And on behalf of God, he's repeating what God said. There is power in the word. But Elijah is doing something interesting. He's doing something interesting. He is called to proclaim. He went to Ahab, the king of Israel, and said, I'm telling you what the word of God says. I am telling you what it says. He went and he shared. That's what he did. That's all he did. He went and shared. He said, this is what God says, and I'm telling you what it says. See, we are also called to proclaim. The church is called to proclaim. The church is called to tell other people about what God said. God wants to save you. God wants you to know him. God wants to save you. He wants you to go to heaven eternally. He wants you to spend eternity in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to have eternal life. The Word of God says that he wants to give you eternal life. The church has been commanded to go and to make disciples of all nations. We are called to make disciples. You see, the devil's got us tricked. The devil says, what you need to do, you need to come to church on Sunday. And listen, it is great to come to church on Sunday. But that's not why you guys just called us now, just to come to church. You tell Paul, Paul, you sit right there and you come every Sunday now, okay? You study the journeys of Paul. Some say he had three and some said he had four when he was in prison and taken to Rome. Everywhere he went, he told people about Jesus. You know, that's our call. That's our call. That's the call of the church, is to proclaim the gospel. It's the call. It was the call for Elijah to do it. And not only to do it, but he did it. He did it boldly. There was conviction. Listen, we got to have conviction of what we believe. I believe this is the Word of God right here. I believe this is the Word of God. I believe it was the intention of the Holy Spirit, and it's written right here. And if I apply it to my life, God will transform me. And listen, if I accept Him in my heart, just like John 5:24 says, I will go from death to life. I believe it because He wrote it. You got to have conviction. You got to have conviction of what you believe. You got to have conviction that you are a child of God and God is with you and He will protect you and guide you. You got to have convictions. Listen, I know you're struggling right now, but my God lives and He will get me through this. You got to see at the end of the tunnel because God is with you. He's powerful. You got to have conviction. Got to have conviction. That's as if I come and I say, all of you are Georgia fans, and all of a sudden I say, now you're Alabama fans. No, you're not. You may start barking at me. That's conviction. We got to have the same conviction about our God, that God is with us, that He's got this under control. Oh, listen, a leaf won't fall off a tree if it's not God's will. He's got this under control. He knows what you and I are going through. And He's with us. You got to have the conviction. Listen, I believe that He's here. And you got to say it. He's regardless of what you're going through, God has not left you. He hasn't forsaken you. Oh, you're His child. He loves you. He cares for you. He will get you through. He will get you through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He will get you through. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. Got to have conviction. Oh, Elijah. You know, he said, I don't care. He's a king. I got to tell him what God said. That's what he did. Now, what he said is interesting. Because he said, there shall be no dew nor rain this year except by my word. You see, Ahab had gone astray. He had gone astray. He was worshiping pagan gods. The name Israel, don't let the name confuse you just because he was the king of Israel didn't mean that he was walking with God. Sometimes we fool ourselves and we say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm good. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I'm good if I'm walking with God. That's why I'm good. Because He says you're good. I'm walking in the fear of God. I'm in the Word of God. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm calling upon the Lord. Now I know I'm walking with God. Amen? I think I drink too much of that Creole community Café du Monde coffee when I was in Louisiana. Something is happening to me this morning. But I think I'm good. I think. There he is. The king of Israel. You have a brand. You represent Israel and you're the king, but yet he's worshiping idols. We come to church, we We say we belong to the Lord. We put in the church that we believe to God, that we believe in God. But the question is not what you're doing. Are you walking with God? Are you hearing from God in 2026? When was the last time you can say before God, listen, God, I am doing what you told me to do. It may not be the pleasing of the culture. The family may be against me. But I know I'm standing on the rock today. The king of Israel, but he's just paper. Just the title. He's got all these idols. He's worshiping Baal. He's worshiping Baal. And who was Baal? He was a pagan god. He was the god of the storm and fertility. His name meant owner or master. In other words, he's being led by a pagan god carrying the title King of Israel. It doesn't matter. So, Elijah shows up and said, you think your God with small g is the king of the rain? Let me show you who is the king of the rain. Do you have that kind of boldness when you walk, when you face trials, when you face tribulations? Do you have that kind of faith? Do you stand and say, I know I'm going through a bad time, but my God will get me through this? See, that's boldness and conviction. And Elisha looked at him and said, let me tell you something. You don't know my God. And what I'm going to tell you, King Ahab, there will be no dew nor rain this year. You know what he's doing? In the deep theological world, he's defending his faith. We use a word called apologetic. That you think your God is going to bring you rain? Well, guess what? This is what God says, capital G. No dew, no rain. Until I said so. What a boldness. He had boldness. He went and he shared. He wasn't fearful. He had conviction. We're going to do it. We got to finish the race like Madison and Emerita did. They finished the race. They had a race. You got to finish. God has blessed you with children. You got to raise them. You have to raise them. He blessed you with them. You want to give them away and put them in eBay? We all do. But you got the conviction that God has given them to you, and you know they are an inheritance from God that you dedicated to them, to the Lord, and so you gotta tough it out. God will provide. He shared the word both. Then he presented, as we will say, he presented the gospel, and then look what he did. Then he went back after sharing. Look what he did in verse 2. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 3, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. He went, he shared the gospel. He shared the word. This is what God said. And you see, did you see what he did? Rather, what God told him to do? Get away from here. Get away from here. I believe that we need to learn a big lesson here to be learned. Because sometimes when we share the gospel with people, sometimes we suffocate them. You need to come to church. You need to pray. And we corner people. I was serving in a church. Bivocational, just for a few months. And there was this gentleman who had a drinking problem. And invited him to church, and he came. Have you dropped just a piece of bread on a fish tank, and you see all the sardines just fly to it? There were like five or six people in the church that just went, they had them cornered. You need to quit that drinking. You need to leave that. That's not from God. And one, listen, it was like they were punching a bag. One will hit them this way, the other one hit them the other way, and give them all kind of stories why. And I looked at the situation. I came by and I said, hey, just come with me. He looked at me and said, thank you. You saved me today. That's a rough group over there. That's the last time he came to church. We do better by praying and stepping back and be a better witness. Listen, you and I can't change anybody. We can even change ourselves. But you know who can? The Lord does. Sometimes we suffocate people. Oh, this is what you need to do. If somebody cuts themselves, just a little cut, and the blood of Christ will cleanse you of all of your sins. Somebody gets a cup of water, oh, there'll be living water coming out of you. You can do anything. We suffocate people. The Lord said, just go and speak to Ahab and leave. That's what he told him. You got to let the word, listen, you got to let the word and you got to let the Holy Spirit work in people's lives, not you. You and I are not the Holy Spirit. We got to get that right. We got to put that in the bank and step back. You're not going to bring conviction of sin by suffocating people with the gospel. God told Elijah, go and speak to the king, and I want you to leave. Let the Spirit do the work. We do praying better by praying and seeking the Lord. I love the way Jesus said about praying. You remember what he said about praying? Go in your room. Lock the door. And the Father, your Father who sees in private, will reward you in public. Don't you think God knows? Of course he does. So we need to seek the Lord, and we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to plant the seed like Jesus' parable of the sower. He planted the seed, and he kept going. That's what we have to do. We are not here to suffocate people with the word. We're here just to tell and let the Spirit of God work in that person's life. So what is the gospel? What is the gospel? I put a little thing here that would help us to understand. It's just a little cube here that we have. It's called an Evangie Cube. You've probably never seen it before, or maybe you have seen it. And so, and here is the Evangie Cube, and it's got steps to this. And let's see if I can figure this one out here. There we go. Okay, there we go. Almost there. I bet you if I had a two-year-old, he can figure it out. You know how that is. That's usually the way it is. It's like our phones, you know. We go to AT&T or Verizon, and you give it to a five-year-old, he said, I'll fix it. So that's kind of the way it is. Okay, let me see how it goes here. It's opening in different directions here. And number five, here we go. Here it is, finally, here it is. This is the gospel. God is here, he's holy. God is holy. Amen? We are sinful. And there is a separation. There's a separation. We cannot get to God because of our sinful nature. This is the gospel. See? We don't have to tell people to quit doing this and quit doing that. We got to present the gospel. We got to present the gospel. And let the Lord do his thing. Just present the gospel. That's what Elijah did. And God said, okay, you did it, now move on. Now God said, let me at him now. Just present the gospel. So we cannot go from here because there is a sinful nature in us. When we grow up, it just comes with us. There is this nature in us of rebellion and rebellion against God. And so now, here comes the next one here. The only way you can go from one side to the other side is what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for us. And when I mean for us, means all humanity. He came and he died for us. This is why Jesus, when Peter wanted to protect him, you remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. Because he wanted to do it in the flesh. This is a spiritual journey. And listen, this is John 3:16. And it's God's love for you and for me, and he loves you. He sent his only begotten son to die on this cross, not for, and I'm going to speak like a Southern here, not for white folk, not for Hispanic folk, not for Asian folk, for African American folk. He died for the whole world. For all of us. It's not the culture or the language. It's our human nature. There he didn't come down from the cross because he loves us. The devil is telling people, get rid of yourself. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. But you know what God says? I love you. I made you. I made you unto my image. I love you. It's a message from the cross. And then, there he is. He was put in a tomb. And the Romans and all the Jews and the sects and all of that, they were so happy. Jesus is dead. The devil say, we got him. Sure you do. Sure you do. God sent an angel to roll the stone. Not the rolling stones. To roll the stone. And Jesus is alive. You know when he's alive? Right now. He's right here. He loves you, and he wants to save you. So, now, remember, he made a way. You remember the beginning? We couldn't go to God, so God came to us. You know what the devil hates? The cross. Because the cross is the way that we can get to God. God loves you. Don't play with eternity. Do you want to change? God will transform you. He will come to live in you. And he will give you a new life. For if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. As the music leads us, and you're here, where are you in this queue today? You hear God has made a way. John 14:6 says, he is the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As it leads us, maybe you need to make a decision for Christ. Maybe you want to talk to me at the service. Maybe you want to come and sit here in the front and we can have a conversation. But like I say about American Express, don't leave home without it. Don't leave home. Church to give your life to Christ. You could do it in the comfort of your home, of your living room, in your vehicle, during your break time. You say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You died on the cross for me, and I want to receive you as my personal Savior. Jesus, come, live in my heart right now. Forgive me of my sin. You do that, he will come in and give you a new life. He loves you. Maybe the world has mistreated you. Maybe they put you to a side. But Jesus loves you. He loves you. He's looking for you. Son of Man has come to seek and to find that which was lost. He's looking. Brother Ray, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?